Well, thank you, Jocelyn. I think you've just, I think everyone sitting here, they probably will have a little experience they can remember. That what you've described is a policing event that is happening every day and every night around New Zealand. And I think you've articulated it beautifully. I'll now invite Inspector Tony McLeod to come. Sorry, Superintendent Tony McLeod to come and speak. And just now we have a real context what we're going to be talking about. So, Jocelyn, welcome to join us at the table. And again, thank you for doing something I know is very difficult for you, bringing it to life. Now, we've got someone can help with the technology here, please. For the Chief Superintendent.
Kia ora tātou, ēnā maina, ēnā reo rengatira mā, tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome everyone to Wellington, perfect day in the harbour capital yet again. You'll be disappointed to know that those of you who didn't get here yesterday have missed, I think, the windiest month in the last 18 years, which we had in October. It was a bit of a shocker, I have to say. Mr McCann, are you here? Welcome, sir. Welcome to New Zealand. My brief today, and just before I start, folks, I notice and I note the presence of the media. Just bear that in mind when we get to questions and when you're considering what I say or don't say today. I'm going to talk about the taser. I'm going to talk about the tactical options deployment review, and I'm going to talk about the uniform review. Now, have I still got half an hour, Greg?
Half an hour's mine, so I would like to type questions.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm happy to, bearing in mind what I just said about the media, I'm happy to talk about just about anything that you folk want to talk about and what's important from your perspectives. So there'll certainly be time for questions. Everybody here is aware of the 12-month-long taser trial that has been undertaken, and we've just heard an eloquent description of one of the incidents arising during that period. Just to remind you, 120-odd incidents in which the taser was deployed at, not fired at, but deployed at. Laser painting was by far the most effective means of use during that time. The vast majority of persons, when they were aware that the taser was being deployed against them, became compliant without the taser having to be fired. It was used once against a dog with success, and it was actually fired 19 times. There was some angst from the association and through Greg when at the end of the trial the taser was withdrawn from the four locations that it had been trialled at. There is a clear and definite need for that to have occurred. Given the political environment that we're operating in, given the coalition against the taser, given the complaint by the Maori Party to the Human Rights Commissioner that we were in fact specifically targeting Maori and therefore breaching their human rights by deploying the taser in the county's Manukau. Given the concerns raised by the Mental Health Commission and the Human Rights Commission, and given the need, as with any evaluation, to be able to conduct that evaluation in a proper manner without it being impacted on other events which might have occurred during the period of the evaluation, there was no option other than to withdraw the taser for the period of the evaluation. That evaluation is currently underway, and some of the people here may have been involved in the interviews that we've conducted with staff, the survey that we've conducted with staff. We're also conducting an intensive literature review to update the literature review that occurred prior to the trial, because there is, internationally, there is ongoing debate and there is ongoing research, particularly across Western policing jurisdictions, in relation to tasers. So all that needs to be incorporated into the evaluation. We're using the Tactical Options report database to provide data around injuries and whether or not there's been a change in relation to injuries reported by staff, severity of injuries since the introduction of the taser. There's a, I can't remember the jurisdiction, but there's a US jurisdiction that I was just scanning some papers yesterday, and they had had huge financial costs, given the American environment they're operating in relation to injuries to staff. They introduced taser, and for the 2 years following the introduction of the taser, they those costs were reduced to nil for 2 years. We're also reviewing the media commentary that has been associated with the trial, the Official Information Act requests, the questions in the House and Parliament, and I've mentioned the Human Rights Commission and the Mental Health Commission. We've also had questions included in the public satisfaction survey, and the result of those questions are going to the executive on Monday morning to advise them of the feedback from the public satisfaction survey around the public's perception of TASER and the appropriateness of TASER in the New Zealand environment. Now, the timelines that we're operating in relation to the review that we will have a draft report completed by the middle of November, and that report will be circulated amongst a very small, tight group for discussion. And then I'm required to provide a completed report to the Commissioner by the 14th of December, and that report will have attached to it the evaluation, which we're expecting that the full evaluation document will run something around 100 pages, and on top of that will be a report from myself making recommendations to the Commissioner as to whether or not the evaluation supports or otherwise the introduction of TASER as a tactical option for the New Zealand Police. We have been very careful, and we will continue to be very careful, to state that no decision has been made as yet, and it's really important that everybody understands that. The Commissioner is not going to make a decision until he has received that evaluation and my report and has given it due consideration for the reasons which I outlined before around the high degree of public and political interest in this issue. I would expect that decision will be out early in the new year. There's no doubt the Commissioner will be under pressure to make that decision once he's received my report. However, he is going to want to consult with his key advisers, and I'm sure that whilst the decision is his alone, is for him to make and for him alone to make, it is not a political decision, and we've gone to a lot of trouble to make that clear, that this is not the Minister's decision, this is not a government decision, it's the Commissioner's decision. I'm sure that he will want to advise the Minister of his decision before making it public. So that's pretty much where we are at with the Taser trial at the moment. Shall I take questions now before we move on to the next topic, Greg?
Yeah, that would be good. And we'll just hold and reserve whether we have a uniform or not.
Yep.
So I think this is an important topic. So just any questions in relation to Taser for Mr. Clower?
Once you've completed your role in the commission, is there some future timeline that the commissioner has expressed to you as he works through the option in these terms?
Good question. No, he hasn't. But if the decision was to be that tasers were to be introduced, and again I emphasise that I put if on the front of that because no decision has been made, but if the decision were to be to introduce taser, there would then be a piece of work to be done around deployment models and how taser would be deployed, and you know that there's a range from keeping it restricted and very narrowly deployed to giving every sworn member a taser. Now that's extremely unlikely. I don't want to prejudge anything, but I mean we don't give firearms to every member. We don't make firearms a personal issue, and it's extremely unlikely that tasers would be a personal issue. So there would be a piece of work around what the deployment model would be, and there would be extensive consultation in relation to that. There would also be a requirement, because this at the end of the day would be a capital bid to budget to government for budget. This is not going to be a chief exercise, and so realistically I don't want to put any time frame on it. If the decision is made to deploy, you can rest assured that the Commissioner and Operations Group will do everything we can to introduce it as quickly as possible, given the need to sort through those deployment issues. But I haven't had an indication from Howard as to when he would expect that to happen.
Mr. Summerfield. Sorry, Mr. Russell.
In relation to the TASER, what consideration has been given retraining issues for deployment, given that we currently have firearms
and that really brings us into to the next matter, which I was going to talk about if we had time. I won't go into that in detail at this stage, but I'll answer your question.
Feel free to go into the next topic now.
Do you think?
Yes.
Okay. I'll answer the question first, and then I'll expand into the wider issues. The there's a requirement, again, and I hate to belabor the point, but if TASER is introduced, we will have a small number of, can't remember what, TASER Masters, I think TASER calls them, who are trained in the States to a certain level, and they come back and train our trainers in relation to that. And that's about a 3-week course, but that would be a very small number of people who would do that in the States. The TASER training is 8 hours per person initially to be upskilled and to be taught initially. I'm not sure what the maintenance program is. Was it Jocelyn who spoke before? Are you still here, Jocelyn?
Yep.
Actually, 8 hours training initially, yeah. And then did you undergo any maintenance training?
No, the only extra training I did was a display GDB staff at the district
right.
Training.
Okay. There will be, I'm sorry, I'm not sure what the maintenance program is after that. At the very most, it's 8 hours a year. And that has been part of the considerations, it's part of the evaluation, and that would be a matter that would have to be addressed by the Training Governance Committee each year when it considers the mandatory training package for each year. And I sit on that committee and I can assure you that we are all very conscious of the demands that mandatory training is placing on districts. And it's just growing and growing because we are continually, this process of professionalisation, for want of a better word, that we're undergoing. The issues around the investigative changes and interviewing that we're undergoing, all these things build and build and build on the mandatory training aspects. So, coming around to this wider issue of tactical options deployment, which you've led into, a question for you: is the New Zealand Police an unarmed police organisation? No? Yes? A variance of opinion within this group. Variance of opinion within the organisation, I have to say. We certainly state that we are an unarmed police organisation, and the executive is adamant that we will remain an unarmed police organisation, generally across the board. The question then is, how do we, as an unarmed organisation, provide staff with the skills and equipment to meet the threats and risks that they're facing as they go about their daily basis? And there is, as we all know, there is a range of tactical options available to us to do that. There are some difficulties and some challenges around maintaining certification across that range of tactical options, and there are some issues around staff preferences, particularly in relation to firearms and the like. For several years now, the organisation has been stating quite clearly that the rifle is the preferred firearm for dealing with armed offenders, and that is because, without teaching people to suck eggs, it has a capability wider than the purely defensive capability of a pistol. You can actually use a rifle to protect other people who are some distance away from you. You have a rifle gives you the opportunity to take action against an offender who is presenting a threat but is some distance away from you. A pistol does not provide you with those opportunities. However, staff consistently take Glocks to incidents. I have a feeling that that might be changing a little bit since we introduced the Bushmaster, but there's still a strong preference amongst staff to be taking pistols to incidents. We currently have a one-size-fits-all policy, so we say we're an unarmed organisation, but we are going to train everybody to the same level, apart from some very defined tactical groups, in relation to both pistols and rifles. Is that sustainable long term if we're an unarmed organisation? Is that sustainable from a training point of view? Is that sustainable given that we have a range of other less lethal options available to us? And dare I say it, that range of less lethal options is growing on a monthly, yearly basis. I recall 3 years ago attending a conference in Australia where there was talk about a longer range taser capability, and we sort of went, I went, yeah, right. But 3 years later, that capability now exists. It is effectively a taser fired from a 12-gauge shotgun. It's got a range of 30 metres, and there are no wires attached. So you fire what effectively is a is the barbs and the power generator from the shotgun, 30 metre range. When it strikes you, a section falls out and another barb swings in to create a circuit, and it has the same effect as a taser. So there are options like that, which 3 years ago were starting to be talked about, and are now available on the market. They are now also talking about delivering taser shock down a laser beam. And that will give you a range of 300 metres, if that's what you want. So these are the sorts of opportunities which are presenting themselves going out over the next few years. I'm not as sceptical and cynical as I was, seeing this other thing be introduced in the space of 3 years. Laser still a bit sounds to me like it's out there. But, you know, 20 years ago, who would have known how reliant we are on cell phones and the way our kids text. So that's led to a 2-year program of work which is just commencing. This is a long-term project. This is not something that happens overnight. There are perhaps some significant changes for the organisation to undergo in relation to how we deploy all of our tactical options. It's not something that we rush into and decide, hey, we're going to make a change in the next 3 months. So I outline that just to let you know that there are issues around firearms deployment in the country at the moment. They are being addressed. But in conjunction with that, we are looking longer term at this issue of being an unarmed police organisation.
All right, so that's any questions on the tactical options? I think Tony will probably going to run out of time to do the uniform, perhaps later on the conference.
That's fine. Well, what I can do is I can leave these behind. People can have a look at them. These are the shirts that have been trialled as the new operational shirt to go under the SRBA. You'll notice that a couple of them have got tags attached to them from the trialists. One's the second most preferred option, one's the most preferred option, and there's also the new duty jacket, which is here. This is going to have the checkering like the SRBA has got on it. It's going to be added to this as well to create consistency. So, Greg, I'm happy to leave those here, and if someone can drop them down, in fact, Stu, if you can bring them back, and the next. Okay.
Well, we'll make sure they're there for the duration of the conference. Now, two questions down the back of your eyes, Mr. Stumbrill.
It's a question about speed for us.
Yes.
I know you were involved in the project a few years ago. One of our members of the project is holding holding rail. Quite bad, but still reason of that work. It's not work. Fisheries have some government agencies that speed up for a number of years, 5 years I believe, and they have quite easy to apply. The difficult as I understand on this particular line is that the person's obviously out of cooperative. Grant again, first very, very large, we have a standard issue.
Yep.
Yes, we are. I
got a ring from one of your association members in Christchurch about that. The last time we looked at rigid cuffs was probably 6 or 7 years ago, as far as I'm aware, in New Zealand Police. And at that stage, they weren't adopted. But I have asked Office Services to have a look at that issue again, particularly around the issue of the size of the gate. I've got to say, I recall rolling around on the dirt in Clive Square in Napier probably 30 years ago and getting my cuffs out and going, bloody hell, those aren't big enough. So it's not a new issue, but I think the rigid cuffs, I understand, do have a larger gait and more teeth so that they can deal with bigger risks. So the answer is yes, it's on the programme of work. To be honest, Pete, it's on the programme of work with a whole truckload of other stuff. I can't give you an indication as to when we might do something with it.
Right, any other questions for Superintendent McLeod? Mr. Leck.
Superintendent, I understand that no defensive tactics training has been implemented to combat offenders grabbing the SRBA. One of my members, no clear signal was sent to the police administration to consider this option when the SRBA was first mooted to be introduced. When will this type of training be incorporated into
that issue? Was raised by Training Service Centre early when we were starting to talk about SRBA. I had discussions with the Training Service Centre, and the tactics effectively in relation to the SRBA, as I understand it, are very similar to the same that you would use to disengage from somebody who had grabbed your duty jacket. It was left with TSC to incorporate that into defensive tactics if they thought that the priority was high enough, as opposed to other issues that they were delivering as part of defensive tactics. I can't say that I know off the top of my head whether or not that's been done, but I can find that out for you and get back to who grabbed to
through Stu.
Through the uniform committee?
Okay. I can comment that I had SDT training relatively recently and it was incorporated.
It was?
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, look, thanks very much, Tony. Perhaps one more question.
Just a very quick one. These new shirts here for a while, like, just guys want to know.
Yeah, they are some distance away, I've got to say. The Uniform Review Committee and the Governance Committee will be making recommendations in the next month or so. However, we then have issues around delivery times from the manufacturers, and we could be looking at another 3 or 4 months, I think, Gary. Just in time for winter.
All right. Thanks very much. Again, you probably could have spent another hour with us on some of these issues, but I think you've covered some of the key ones. So thanks very much, Tony.
Pleasure.
Much appreciated.